Okay, good evening. So we are continuing our study of Hilchos Yichud. Tonight I want to talk about Yichud in family situations, or as we call the title, Yichud, it's all relative, relative in the sense of relatives, people we're related to. So we'll discuss that tonight. The plan is to have, I believe we counted four more Shi'urim on Yichud. Tonight and three others, we'll have one Yichud about married women, specifically Ba'al Be'ir, a married woman whose husband's in the city. We'll have another shiur about Pesach Pasuach, when the door is open to public areas. And we also have to have a shiur about yichud in professional situations.
Bye-bye.
You go to a doctor, a psychologist, I don't know what. You go to any professional, right? Often there are cases of yichud that could come up, so we'll have to address that as well. But for tonight, I want to talk about yichud in family situations. And as we know, since we live in the year 2014, going on 2015, families are complicated. Right? You could have a family that involves... I'll tell you a story. My father, after he retired from the Federation, so he went back to his degree, which is in demography, and he did demographic studies of various communities. So he did a demographic study of the Jewish community in Vancouver. And the way demographic studies are done, basically, it used to be done, people used to have something called landlines. This goes back like ancient history. And you would call a phone. There used to be things called, crank them up. You call the operator, please connect me with that. And you would open up a phone book, also an ancient device that no longer exists. You'd open up a phone book and you would see, oh, these are the Jewish sounding names. And you would make a phone call to the Jewish sounding names and you would get information about how many Jews are there in the household or how many presumed Jews there are. If your name is Birnbaum or Schwartz or Frankel, presumably that is a Jewish name. So the demographers assume that you're Jewish. There's no absolute proofs, but it's an assumption. So you call up, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Schwartz, are there any Jews in this household? Oh, well, kind of, sort of, a little bit. What do you mean? Well, my son from the first marriage is Jewish because I'm not Jewish, but the first husband was Jewish. So that son is Jewish. This guy Schwartz isn't Jewish. The guy married. And you can have all of these stories. There's one Jew, one non-Jew. It's a blended family from 16 different directions. No, this is not unheard of today. And this creates questions in terms of yichud, which is something that we are going to talk about, because in the blended family, one second, I'm not related to her, right? Because she is a daughter of the mother from the first marriage, which is 16 marriages ago, and I'm a daughter of the father from the 17th marriage, and...
So.
Right? So, we're not related. Is there an issue of yichud? So in order to get to that conversation, we have to go through the halachos of yichud with relatives. The Mishnah tells us in Kiddushin, it's on Pei Amid Beis. Let's start from the second line in the Mishnah. Misyached adam im imo v'im bito, v'yashein imahim b'kiruv basar. A person is allowed to have yichud. Again, Mishnah is a phrase from the male perspective. A person can have yichud with his mother or his daughter, and you can sleep with them, bekir of basa, you can sleep with them with physical contact. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Presumably, the Mishnah is saying that we're not really worried that anything untoward is going to happen, but im higdilu, once they grow up, so you have to sleep in pajamas. Zu yashen abiksusa, veze yashen biksusel. But in other words, when they're young, you don't have to be clothed. But once they get older, you have to sleep when they call. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, the Mishnah is not talking about all relatives. The Mishnah is only talking about mothers and daughters, no? What about sisters, aunts, uncles, canaries, right? What about all these things? The Mishnah doesn't talk about it. I know, you think I'm crazy, but I'll explain to you why I said canaries. What?
Oh, canaries.
Oh, fine. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Misyached adam im achoso, vidar im imo v'im bito. Right? Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav Asi, says that you can have yichud with your sister, and you can live with your mother and your daughter. Meaning to say, he is distinguishing between having yichud and living together. Now, what's that distinction? This is Rav Asi's distinction. Yichud with your sister is permitted, right? You can live with your mother and your sister. What's the distinction? Not clear, but... Right, so Rashi somewhere, I think I give you the Rashi somewhere, draws here, on the second page, or the second side of the page, it says, Misyachid imachoso. So Rashi writes, Lifrakim, occasionally, aval eino dar tamid biyichud etzla babayis. Rashi says that you can have occasional yichud with your sister, but not to live there permanently. That's what Rashi says, and this is within the position of Asi. Again, we have to define these terms. We will as we go on, but let's kind of chalk it up, keep it, put in your pipes, smoke it, enjoy. Next, ki amra kameh de Shmuel, when back in the Gemara. So Rav Asi says that you can have yichud with your sister. Again, we haven't spoken about the whole family. Right? You just have a sister, a mother, and a daughter now. When he said it to Shmuel, so Shmuel said, Amar, you can't have yichud with any of the forbidden relations, afilo in behema, even with an animal. Again, not to be too gruesome about it, but it's forbidden to have relations with an animal, right? And yichud is forbidden with any entity that you can't have relations with, says Shmuel.
You can't have a pet?
Yes. According to Shmuel, you cannot have a pet because yichud is forbidden. I mean, you could have a pet if it's not a yichud situation, if you have, like, a lot of other people around or something.
If it's, you're a single person, can you have a dog?
So according to Shmuel, no.
The dog house.
Right. The dog has to go to the dog house, that's right.
With an iron chain.
What?
With an iron chain.
With an iron chain.
Well, wait a minute, suppose it's a lady dog.
I just have to tell you a story. On Chol HaMoed, one day I'm coming back with my kids, and you know, there's like the, sometimes they're big dogs in Washington Heights. You mentioned something about a dog on the chain. It just reminded me of this story. So there's like this dog coming down the street, and the dog's not on the chain. I'm holding Yosef Dov, who's asleep after a whole day of a Chol HaMoed. She'll be sleeping on my shoulder. And the dog comes, and the dog is coming at me, one of these big, like, killer dogs. And I am scared to death. And I start to scream. Yosef Dov wakes up, and he starts to howl. And the dog, apparently he's a very calm dog, but he looked like really fierce. And the dog is coming at us, and then the dog's just standing there. And like, I look at the owner of the dog, and I let loose at him. I say, you're crazy, what are you doing? The dog's not on the leash, etc. And the guy like starts giving me some lip back about how like I should be nice to him. The dog just needed to take a walk, and he didn't have a leash, etc. I said, you know what, I'm not taking any of this. I call the police. The cops come, and the cops give the guy a ticket. So this was,
now he really likes
the cops are like so excited, you know, like Washington Heights, you get a call. It's so exciting, like, oh.
This guy really likes Jewish people.
Right, so that's a different story. This is my white skin privilege, I'm able to call the cops on this one, right? Whatever. But the fact is, Rav Asi says that you can have yichud with your sister and with your mother and daughter. Shmuel says you can't have yichud with any of the arayos, right? And even with an animal. Now that means according to Shmuel, you can't have yichud with your mother. No? Any arayos, any person that's a forbidden relationship with you, according to Shmuel, you can't have yichud. Now how do you live? Right? So in the old kibbutzim, you had like the children's house. Right? I guess. I don't know.
That means you can't room with a male friend either.
So rooming with a male friend is a discussion in the postgame. According to Shmuel, it might be forbidden, it might not. We actually have to talk about that conversation as we go on. We'll have to have that conversation later on.
What? I couldn't have a female roommate. Who could afford a single apartment in Washington
Heights anymore? Now, the Mishnah said... Now, the Gemara asks a question. What do you mean, Shmuel? You can't have yichud with anything that's called arayos, with any forbidden relationship. Didn't our Mishnah say that you could have yichud with your mother and your daughter? So Shmuel answers, you know what? It's a machlokas. That's what the Gemara continues. Now, the amazing thing over here is we have two positions. Both positions seem to be against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can have yichud with your mother and your daughter, nothing else. It doesn't say anything about sister. Comes along Rav As, he says also a sister. Now what about aunt, uncle, right? Doesn't say, but at least sister Rav As, he adds. Shmuel says, oh, the Mishnah, we don't paskin like the Mishnah. We know you can't have yichud with anyone that you can't have, that you can't marry. That's what Shmuel says. Now, as a matter of halacha, it's not exactly clear how we paskin. Let's just summarize this very quickly. The Rush paskins like Rav Asi. That means according to the Rush, you're allowed to have yichud with your sister, right? And certainly with your mother and your daughter, you can have yichud. And by the way, mother and daughter is the same as father, right? You know what I'm saying, right? It's all the same.
When you say you are speaking...
I'm speaking from the male perspective. If you focus on... Right, it's all the same thing. But, so the Rush paskins like Rav Asi. The Rush says that Rav Asi, even though he seems to be younger than Shmuel, but he's greater than Shmuel, we paskin like Rav Asi. That's what the Rush says. However, if I open up the big book called Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch writes, Asur lehisyachinim erva me'arayos, with the exception of a mother with a son, and a father with a daughter, etc. So Shulchan Aruch does not say you're allowed to have yichud with what? With his sister. Shulchan Aruch says the only exceptions are a mother and a daughter. Right? From my perspective, mother and a daughter. Those are the only exceptions, according to Shulchan Aruch. Sister is not an exception. And according to Shulchan Aruch, you cannot have yichud with your sister. Oh my gosh. And the Beis Shmuel and the Chelkas Mechokek all point this out. They say, one second, the Gemara says that you're allowed to have yichud with your sister according to Rav Asi, but, and the Rush paskins this way, but the Rambam and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch leave it out. I don't know why they leave it out. The Beis Shmuel, you get the impression, says, okay, well, we should follow like the Gemara. The Chelkas Mechokek writes that Hamachmir Tavo Alav Bracha, that you should be Machmir not to have yichud with your sister. Oh my gosh. Right? Now, what's interesting is as follows. Shulchan Aruch does not quote that you're allowed to have yichud with your sister. It's not here. How we deal with this issue, with something that's in the Gemara but it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Shmuel says, be machmir. In other words, Rabbi Yosef Kara knew what he was doing and don't have yichud with your sister. Oh my gosh. Right? Now, by the way, in a family situation, it's not going to be a problem. If you have two parents and a brother and a sister, standard Jewish family, two parents, brother, sister, and a dog, right? So that's not going to be a problem because the parents are like going to protect from everything else, right? But standard family situations aren't so standard. So the Chalkas Machogik says, don't have yichud with your sister. Even on a temporary basis, don't have yichud with your sister. The story goes like this. When the Chazon Ish first moved to Israel, he decided, for some mysterious reason, not to live in Yerushalayim, where there are lots of Jews, but to move out to the Buhiks, this town called Bnei Brak, no? Right now, Bnei Brak is like a massive city with like lots of dusty roads. But in the olden days, Bnei Brak was like nothing. It's like the new Yishuv. The Chazon Ish decided to move to Bnei Brak, and honestly, the reason why the new Yishuv grew is largely because of the Chazon Ish and the Chazon Ish's commitment to the new Yishuv. Okay, very nice. So the Chazon Ish moves out there, and there aren't that many apartments in Bnei Brak, and the Chazon Ish ends up living in the same apartment with his sister and his sister's husband. And the Chazon Ish's wife, there's a great mystery in the biographies, the Chazon Ish's wife wasn't really a player. She wasn't really around so much. Like, they don't talk about her in the standard biographies of the Chazon Ish. And often the Chazon Ish's brother-in-law wasn't around. And the Chazon Ish had yichud with his sister. So somebody comes, like very, you know, righteous. Chazon Ish, you're having yichud with your sister. You know, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that's permitted. So Chazon Ish basically tells him, shut up. I know the Shulchan Aruch also, right? But we don't pass in like Shulchan Aruch against the Gemara. Meaning, this is like a fundamental question in terms of Darkei Hapsak. Right? Do I follow the Shulchan Aruch against the Gemara? Right? The Gemara says it's permitted. Rav Asi says it's permitted. Right? Do I follow the Shulchan Aruch and say no? Right? Maybe we're passing like the Mishnah, not like Rav Asi for some reason, but you have to really figure it out. Or maybe it's because once the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, they made some Gezeiros and Yichud during the episode of Amnon and Tamar. Amnon and Tamar were brother and sister, no?
Weren't they halves?
Half brother. But half brother is considered brothers for purposes of Yehud. So, right? So, why did they, what's going on? So maybe the Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, he understands that, oh, that episode of Amnon and Tara teaches that Yichud is forbidden even by sisters. But the Chazanish says, you know what, I don't care. The Gemara says permitted, we pass like the Gemara. That, and the Chazanish did it. He actually had Yichud with his sister, despite the fact his sister was married. There's a tshuva of the Binyan Sion of Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, who supposedly gave smicha to Rabbina Hirsch. There's a tshuva in the Binyan Sion where he says you can only have Yichud with your sister when she's not married. When she's married, you can't have Yichud. But the Chazanish himself was lenient, and I think standard practice is to be lenient. Even though in this book it says that only Ashkenazim, I'm sorry, Ariel, but only Ashkenazim are allowed to be lenient with Yichud with their sisters, and Sfaradim have to be strict on it. But the Minhag Ha'olam, Chacham Avad Yosef ben Rav Abba Sha'ol, Ben Sion Abba Sha'ol, they both pass in that standard, or they both say that standard practice is that even Sfaradim are lenient in this. Now, when we speak about a sister, does that mean only a sister? What about other relatives? Can I have Yichud with my aunt? Or let's, right, what's the halacha over there? When we say, when Rav Asi says, they can have Yichud with mother and sister, that's found in the Mishnah. Mother and daughter, that's found in the Mishnah. And even a sister. Is Rav Asi saying sister and everything else? Or does Rav Asi mean only sister for some reason?
Your aunt, but not your niece.
My own biological sister, but not my niece is not related to me halachically at all. I'm allowed to marry my niece. But I can't marry my aunt. My aunt, my mother's sister. My mother has a sister still alive. But my mother's sister, I can't have Yichud with because I can't marry her. She's my aunt. Right? My niece, technically, I can marry. Right? So my niece is subject to all the rules of Yichud as a normal person. It's not Arayos. It's not somebody who I can't marry. I can't marry my aunt. I can't marry my grandmother. Am I allowed to have Yichud with my grandmother? And she's not alive anymore. But, are you allowed to have Yichud with grandparents, with aunts, with, what other relatives are there out there? There are lots of relatives.
Is there
no age limit? The Achronim discuss a case of a person who is ein lo gevuras anoshem, without being too gruesome about it, ein lo gevuras anoshem, if a male can't perform, so if you know for certain that the male can't perform, so Yichud is permitted.
Yeah, but then if he's having it, and then the word gets out that he can't perform, and it's really nobody's business.
Correct.
I mean, come on.
Correct. Again, sometimes... Again, these are not fun questions. But sometimes it could happen. Like, you bring a father-in-law in to live with you. So, can the wife have Yichud with her father-in-law?
But if
the husband is in town, all is grand. Let's say the husband is away.
But suppose there's a lot of kids running around the house.
Say there's a lot of kids running around the house, all is grand. Right? But let's say it's an empty nest, and you just have... This is, what do they call it? The sandwich generation now? Right? It's like a big thing that people talk about, that you're caring for bidirectional. Right? So these are questions, but we pass in that once the male is in lo gevuras hanoshim, saying Yichud is permitted, but there's no age limit on the female side of Yichud, no?
Postmenopause doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. There's still an issue. Yichud might be Yichud midrabbanon. If she was a religious woman who went to the mikvah, right, after her last nida cycle, so that's and she's not married anymore, so that's only Yichud midrabbanon. That's only rabbinic Yichud.
But the way you all talk to the young singles, you don't want people who could marry each other have Yichud either.
Well, okay, so, yeah, so again, like we spoke about, like the first time we spoke about Yichud, the idea of learning Hilchos Yichud is to recognize what's a problem and to come up with solutions to solve the problems. Right? Yichud is like ribbis, in the sense of that you can identify a problem and have a way to work around it. And that's the goal. Right now we're just trying to identify problems. So, let's just go slowly. What about yichud with other relatives? Now, we could take a step back and try to analyze why is it that I'm allowed to have yichud, according to Rav Asi, with my sister, and how come I'm allowed to have yichud with my mother and my daughter, but no other relatives? What's special about these? So Rashi has a comment. Rashi has a comment, right? Look in Rashi in Kedushin, the second one, V'darim imo oem bito. Rashi says, Dolotakif yitzrei alaihu, that your yitzahara is not strong on your mother or your daughter. Da'ahanu be'anshe knesses hagadola, dolomagri bekruvta. The Anshe Knesset HaGadola helped that your Yetzahara isn't incited with your relatives. Now, that is a very interesting Rashi on a few levels. You see, this does not mean that there are no sick people out there who desire their mother or their daughter. There are cases of sick people. But the assumption is that that's a sickness. Normal Yetzahara is normal life, right? Males want to be with females. Females want to be with males. That is a normal part of life. The Anshe Knesset HaGadola daven to try to get rid of the Yetzirah. They said, you know what, this Yetzirah thing, it's getting too much of us. Let's get rid of it, the Grand Sanhedrin says. So the Anshe Knesset HaGadola daven. And you know what? The Tefillos Anshe Knesset HaGadola weren't answered. God said, I'm not going to listen to you, because if we get rid of the Yetzirah completely, so you're not going to have children. No one's going to get married. But the tefillos of the Anshe Knesset HaGadola were somewhat successful. For the mothers and for the daughters, where the level of desire is naturally lower, this is the understanding of Rashi that we're giving, since the level of desire is naturally lower, so therefore, the tefillos of the Anshe Knesset HaGadola helped, and you can get rid of, and there's no Yetzihara. And once there's no Yetzihara, there is no prohibition of Yichud. Right? In other words, what we're trying to do is like to kind of get to the bottom of God's mind. When God says there's a prohibition of Yichud, God is saying, you know what, we don't want people to be secluded because they might come, right, to who knows where, or we do know where, but, right, they might go too far. However, in a situation that normal people don't have desire for this, right? Normal people don't have desire. Mothers and daughters, it's not a normal desire. So then the Tefillos of Anshe Knesset HaGadola helped and there's no desire at all, halachically, and consequently Yichud is permitted. And a sister also, according to Rav Asi, the Tefillos of Anshe Knesset HaGadola helped. Right? You know, the Pesukim in Shir HaShirim, I love you like my sister, my sister, my sister. What does that mean? They talk about platonic love on a certain level. And I think there is a certain type of love between a brother and a sister that's completely non-sexual in nature. Right? Or the amount, the level of sexuality of that love is so low that Chazal are not worried it's going to be a problem, according to Rav Asi. And therefore you can have yichud with your sister. What about other relatives? Not clear. It's not clear. The Rashash has a comment. It's a diuk in Rashi. If you read Rashi carefully, Rashi says that the tefillos of the Anshe Knesset HaGadola helped, delo magri bekruvta. What's bekruvta mean? Relatives, right? Krovim, right? The two of the Anshe Knesset HaGadola helped not to be incited to relatives. So the Rashi says, oh, you know what? You're allowed to have yichud with your aunt, with your grandmother, with your granddaughter. Why? Because they're all relatives. And sexual desire in normal situations does not extend to relatives, no? That's what the Rashash says. Most poskim do not accept the Rashash. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a little book called Nidchei Yisrael. Now, it was like a manual for the Jewish soldiers. And in the Nidchei Yisrael, he advises the soldiers, you should know you're going to get days off. Like once every 63 years, you get a day off, and you can go into town, you got to be careful about Yichud. He gives him like all the little rules of Yichud in that book of Nidchei Yisrael. So in the Nidchei Yisrael, the Chafetz Chaim writes that he thinks Yichud is permitted only with a sister, not with other relatives. And most poskim, the Pnei Yehoshua argues with the Rashash, most poskim assume that Yichud is not permitted with other relatives, it's only with a sister. And even with a sister, Yichud is permitted only the way the Mishnah said, right? That, or the way the Gemara, the way Rav Asi said, you can have Yichud, but you cannot live with her. Now, what is the difference between Yichud and living with her? So most assume that the difference is how long is it going on for. Meaning to say, okay, bad advice. If you are parents and you have teenagers, do not go away and leave your teenagers alone at home. Because inevitably there will be the party to end all parties and to end your house. Right? I don't think this is such a chiddush, but like my wife teaches high school. She tells me this is like, it happens. No? That people, actually, when I was a kid, I have to admit, my parents used to go away a lot. And I was a pretty good kid. I mean, honestly,
now,
my grandmother used to stay with us when we went away. My grandmother had no idea what we were doing. We used to watch TV till very late at night. That was my child. And the we, by the way, is me and my sister. Was that permitted? Was I allowed to have yichud with my sister? Yeah, so we pass in yichud with the sister is permitted. But it's only permitted temporarily. What's considered temporarily? You can't live with your sister, but you can have yichud. So some posts can give a shir until 3 days. Others give a shir until 30 days. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, he doesn't think that a shir is appropriate. He can't give an exact measurement of what's temporary, what's permanent. It depends. He says, if it's like you're living together in terms of like your roommate, so then it's a problem. But if you're just visiting, it's not a problem. Now, visiting depends how far away you're coming from. If you come from the outback in Australia, you could be a visitor. You're staying there for a few months. If you come from next door, you're not a visitor if you stay for more than 25 minutes. Right? So depending on where you're coming from, that defines whether you're considered a visitor or whether you're considered a resident. Brothers and sisters should not live together. It was a very unfortunate case years and years ago. Whatever the details were, we have to like flub some of the details so people don't figure out, but a brother and a sister who were living together, and it turned out that the brother died of a heart attack when he tried to come onto his sister as an older man. It was a very unfortunate situation that happened, and that I think speaks a bit to the wisdom of Chazal that a brother and a sister should not have are allowed to have yichud together, but living together permanently, then in that situation, we're worried that the yetzer will happen. It's not that there's zero yetzer with your sister. There's a little bit of yetzer. If you're living together, the yetzer could be more extreme. The question as to how long parents are allowed to go away and leave their kids together, so it's a very bad idea if you have teenagers to go away and leave the kids even for a single night, because we've all heard the stories, and the cops have certainly heard the stories. But as a matter of halacha, most follow the position that less than 30 days is going to be permitted. That's not called living together. Okay, most also follow the position that other relatives besides mother, that yichud is always permitted, daughter, that yichud is always permitted, and sister, that yichud is permitted temporarily, other relatives, we follow those positions that it's also, so you can't have yichud with your aunt. And you can't have yichud with your aunt. What about grandparents? What about grandparents? So the Bach has a comment in Evan Ezra, both Simon and Chaf Aleph and Simon Chaf Beis, that Ko Yotzei Chalotzev have the same halacha. In other words, when I say that, can I have yichud with my daughter, and I'm allowed to kiss my daughter, I'm allowed to kiss my granddaughter. Right, and if my mother can kiss me, and I can kiss my mother, I can kiss my grandmother, and any direct line is going to be permitted. The Bach says, and therefore yichud is permitted in these situations. What about the following case that could come up? I've had this shaila a number of times. Are two cousins allowed to go and stay by a grandparent? Now, remember, the cousins are forbidden in yichud, as ordinary people are forbidden in yichud. They can marry each other, right? Yichud is forbidden. It's not, right? Let's say it's a boy and a girl, she's a nida, right? So yichud is forbidden, that's a situation. Okay, so you can't have yichud with a regular nida, you can't have yichud with your cousin. Well, now the grandmother is here. Do I assume that the grandmother permits yichud for the cousins? Or not? So the Piskei Tshuva over here Right? First of all, he quotes in the Bach that Kol Yotzei Chalotzav is going to be okay, etc. That even grandparents are okay. Beautiful. Ayin Zachar Avram. Someone just called me about the Shaila Matzei Shabbos. He called me. His 11-year-old son was invited to spend the night with a friend, another 11-year-old boy. So far, so good. And the question was, only the friend's mother was home, not the friend's father who was away. Is there an Isser of Yichud with the 11-year-old boy and the mother? Like, boys over the age of 9, technically, as a matter of halacha, have an Isser of Yichud. So that's a shayla he called me to ask. He knew I was saying Shirin Yichud. So I told him that the Zachar Avram, according to Pesach Tshuva, is Machmir, but the Chazon Nishan of Salvechik were Mekel. Let's just see it inside. The Zachar Avram quotes the Bach, and he writes, because of the Nira, the Koza who Davka Lusyachid Imo Levada, Abam Yisham Isha Acheres, Afilon Bito, Bas Bito Sham Aser, the Bebez Nashim Aser Lehisyachid the Kuleyama. In other words, the Tshuva of the Zachar Avram says that if you have, let's say, a grandmother, I could have Yichud with my grandmother, but I can't have Yichud with my grandmother and another woman. Because that other woman, right, let's say a cousin, two cousins want to go and spend, right, a Shabbos with the grandmother. I did this so many times. So many times growing up. The Tshuva Zachar Avram says it's a problem.
What? Three
well, I can't, but again, I can't have Yichud with two women. Even though one of those women I'm allowed to have Yichud with, but I can't have Yichud with the other woman, right? I'm allowed to have Yichud with my grandmother, but I can't have Yichud with my cousin. Correct.
Why not?
That's what the Zachar Avram is saying. The Zachar Avram is saying that the grandmother is like she's a blank. Right? So you can have Yichud with you and your grandmother. That's fine. But you can't have Yichud with the other woman who is over. So what's the story over there? So the Tshuva of the Zachar Avram says the problem. The Chazon Nish and Rav Salvechik. Rav Salvechik is quoted in the Sefer Mipnine Harav, that Rav Shechter one time went to spend time with his grandmother and a cousin, and then he recognized, oh my gosh, this is a problem, so he decided to speak to Chazon. He decided to speak to Rav Salvechik, and the Rav basically laughed. And that's like the story. And the Chazon Ish was make on this. The Chazon Ish, by the way, people think the Chazon Ish was a big machmir. No, Larry Kaplan wrote an article called The Chazon Ish as a Critic of Haredi Orthodoxy. The Chazon Ish tends to be a very big make on. I'll talk about that. Right? Chazon Ish is make on our Erev. The Erev in Washington Heights is based on the Chazon Ish. Right? Chazon Ish is very make on Yichud. Right? He had Yichud with his own sister against Shulchan Aruch. And the Chazon Ish is make on against the Zachar Avram. He said that not only is a grandmother permitted to have Yichud, but she will protect the prohibition of Yichud with you and your cousin, the grandmother. So in this case also, since the mother and the son are permitted to have Yichud, according to Halacha, mother and son can have Yichud, so there's going to be no Isser Yichud with the other boy coming over. Because once there's a protected Yichud situation, that permits it for everything else. So that's the basic issue with Yichud in family situations. One thing that's not really a family situation that we should talk about, that I forgot to put in the source sheets, but it's very important, is a psak of the Ramon, Evan Ezra Simon Nun Hei. The Ramon paskins that when you're engaged, there is a super-duper Isser Yichud. Meaning to say, an engaged couple, usually you're allowed to be in the same house with a female if there's a married couple there or something, you can be in the same house, right? So you're going to spend Shabbos with your fiancé. There's her and her parents. So the Ramo Pasuk is that you shouldn't stay in the same house as your fiancé. You should stay in a different house. Now, the reason why it's a super-duper Isser Yichud, he quotes on the Sefer HaAgur, is because there is more of a concern. She's your fiancé, you're her fiancé. There's more of a concern that things will happen. My mother-in-law has commented that one of the common... My mother-in-law is like the principal of a Haredi high school in Brooklyn, or a light Haredi high school in Brooklyn. Is that a fair way to describe it, Orly?
Yeah.
All right, so, Orly's a student. But the fact is... my mother-in-law has commented that it's common in that world that couples are keeping all of the rules of Yichud and the Giyah until they get engaged. And once they get engaged, so, whoa, it all goes very, very quickly. Now, again, my understanding in our community also is that, and we all understand, once you're involved in a relationship, certainly the halachos of Yichud and Negiah become much more difficult. Right? No one is saying that it gets easy. It becomes much harder. And the Rambam was sensitive to that. The Rambam says, you know what? Since you're in a relationship, you're engaged there, you don't sleep in the same house, so you should sleep by your neighbor once you're engaged. And Rav Soloveitchik used to always remind the students, once they got engaged, he said, Mazel Tov, by the way, when you go to a fiancé for Shabbos, make sure you don't sleep in the house. Right? So, that's basically, it's something that's worth keeping in mind. I just want to talk briefly about adopted children and blended families, because that's how we started. This is Yichud Disaster Zone. No? What's the story with adopted children? Is it permitted to have Yichud? So it's a big discussion among the poskim. Most poskim, I have to admit, assume that Yichud with adopted children is forbidden. Remember, if I adopt a child, I'm not biologically related to them. That's why I adopted them, right? We weren't blessed with children, so we adopted. That's what happens. Okay, well, you adopt, that means you're not biologically related, so you're not the kid's mother. Does that mean that Yichud is forbidden? So many poskim assume, probably most poskim assume, that there's a prohibition of Yichud, and you have to solve the problem of Yichud somehow. How do you solve the problem of Yichud with adopted children? Well, if you have a husband and a wife who adopted a child, so as long as the husband and the wife are in the same house, there's going to be no Isser Yichud. And you just have to make sure that that happens. But if one of the spouses isn't around or passes away, what?
You mean to go grocery shopping?
So let's say passes away. Well, let's say passes away. Let's say a couple adopts a child and then one of the spouses passes away. So then there could potentially be a serious Isser of Yichud. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know, they have this book, Otzer HaPoskim, which is like a classic in halachic literature, try to bring down all the poskim on the Tavis and Eben HaEzer. Lubavitcher Rebbe, at the end of the second volume of Otzer HaPoskim, penned a letter to Otzer HaPoskim. It's one of the few times, like, usually Lubavitchers only write to Lubavitchers. He wrote a letter to the Otzer HaPoskim, and he says, you should know, don't adopt children. Don't adopt, the Rebbe wrote, because there's going to be an Isser Yichud, and you're not doing yourself a big favor, because you're going to inevitably violate the Isser Yichud. Yeah, let me take.
Sorry, does it matter at what age a child is adopted? Like, if a child is adopted, so, as a newborn, right? And literally the parents are
the parents, like, so we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Right now we're presenting the position of those who say it's forbidden.
Completely.
Those who say it's forbidden completely. The Lubavitcher Rebbe assumes it's forbidden completely. And there is, in that Sefer Devar Halacha, they quote from the Chazon Ish also, not to adopt children because it's a Yichud. And Moshe Sternbach has a Tshuva Tov Shanayim Zayin, that's a Simen. Moshe Sternbach says, don't adopt children in most cases, because, or Moshe Sternbach doesn't really say it like that. He recognizes a serious pain in not adopting children, so he says you really have to work very hard to try to solve this a Yichud, but technically there's a prohibition of Yichud. That's the story. Lubavitchers, who wanted to adopt children, heard a report that Rav Soloveitchik, who would come into New York a couple of days a week, was make all of this. So they started lining up and going to the Rav to ask him whether they could adopt children. And the Rav says, like, who are you? You have, like, a crushed hat. You have, like, a scruggly beard. You don't look like any of my students. Like, what are you doing here? So they said, oh, we have a Shiloh to ask. And the Rav eventually cornered, he's like, why are you asking me this Shiloh? You don't ask me anything else. Like, you know, go back to Lubavitch. Like, ask the Shiloh over there. Now, the Rebbe said not to adopt. Now, to tell that to people is extreme. You have to understand the pain of not having children is extremely, extremely intense. To tell people that you can't adopt because of a halach of Yichud is very difficult. So the Rav didn't say that you could be lenient on Yichud. The Rav said adopt children and be careful about the prohibition of Yichud. There are some, however, who said that you can be lenient even on the Isser of Yichud. And there are different ways of saying it. Rav Moshe Feinstein, I give you the tshuva, it's at the last page of this packet, or whatever. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that he thinks you could be lenient on Yichud if there's a married couple who are together, even if one of them goes away. Right? Let's say there's a son who's adopted, the father goes away to a different country for a week, can the mother be with the son in the apartment? Rav Moshe Feinstein says yes, because Rav Moshe develops a theory within the halachos of Yichud that we'll talk about at length when we address professional situations. Rav Moshe develops a theory that outside deterrents are enough to prevent Yichud. And therefore, what's going to happen? Daddy comes back from the business trip, right? Daddy's going to talk to his son, his adopted son, and say, how was it? If mom tried to be with adopted boy over there, I know it's disgusting, right? But the kid would tell. And then, right, so that itself is a deterrent, that, or the other way, right? That's a deterrent why it won't happen. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that deterrent is sufficient to permit Yichud in adopted cases. However, Rav Moshe is not lenient, right? Four lines on the bottom, he writes, "Emesa ishto be'etzem yeshel yizar shalos yachin and bita." Meaning to say, you can only have this kula if the wife is alive. But if the wife passed away, so we don't have the kula anymore of coming back, this outside thing. Oh, if you started up, we would know. Right? So that's Rav Moshe Feinstein's. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying everything backwards, but you understand what we're getting at. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. The Tzitz Eliezer, however, is the only, he's the only one, to the best of my knowledge, who's a genuine makel on Yichud with adopted children. Tzitz Eliezer says it for the following reason. And this gets back to what you were asking before. You know, why is it there's no prohibition of Yichud with your sister? So we generally assume, because it's a biological basis, like, you know, you share parents, and therefore there's no Yetzer Hara, therefore there's no Yichud. But the way the Levush says it is the reason why there's no Yichud with your sister is because you were raised together, and therefore there's no Yichud. Meaning to say, says the Tzitz Eliezer, if I adopt a child and we're raised together as brother and sister the whole time, so there's going to be no Isser Yichud because, right, she's my sister, my brother, right? It's not Yichud. Now, that might impact on what age you adopted the child. And that's a point that Tzitz Eliezer makes in the paragraph, which I didn't print out. Tzitz Eliezer says, therefore, it only makes sense if you adopted the child when the child was really young. But if you adopt the child after the child already arrived at the age of Yichud, whatever that age is, so then the Tzitz Eliezer says he doesn't think this kula applies. So he has one kula because they're raised together, and that itself removes the Yetzer Hara. The second kula that the Tzitz Eliezer has is based on a topic that I think we mentioned in the first shiur. You know, the halacha is I can't have Yichud with anyone who is an arayos for me. So I can't have Yichud with any prohibited relationship. How come I'm allowed to have Yichud with my wife when she's a Nida? That's also Arayos. I can't have Yichud with an ordinary woman when she's a Nida. How come I can't have Yichud with my wife when she's a Nida? So Tosis says something along the lines of, well, you know that you're not going to have relations because since it's pas basalo, all you have to do is wait a couple of weeks and you'll be able to have relations again. So we're not worried that they'll have relations when they're in Nida. That's why Tosa says it. But there's a Kitzer Piskei Harash who says different. The Kitzer Piskei Harash says the reason you're allowed to have Yichud with your wife when she's in Nida is because it's impossible to function without having Yichud with your wife when she's in Nida. Even though you should know the Ethiopians have a separate house, right? For their wife, for the wife when she's in Nida. That is not mainstream Judaism. We'll say it like that. So the comment to Kitzur Piskei Rosh is fascinating. You're allowed to have Yichud with your wife when she's in Nida because you can't function otherwise. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, he thinks, this is a big chiddush to, right? He thinks, you know what? In an adopted family situation, you can't function. What, you're going to hold of the prohibition of Yichud? And by the way, blended families would be the same type of thing. How are we gonna function? Like, what do we do? Now, of course, like, you know, this is the type of argument that could uproot all of Hilchos Yichud. And instead of arguing, oh, yeah, it's my roommate. I can't function with my... No, who says you should choose a roommate of the opposite gender? But the point is that Tzitz Eliezer makes this argument. He writes at the end, I wrote all of these heterim, hagam shenidmesh nechnasim l'chore b'pirtzos t'chukos. It's the bottom two lines of page 3. Even though it appears like we're entering very cramped quarters, difficult, we're pushing through difficult holes. B'chdei l'lameid z'chus ha'Yisrael. In order to be l'lameid z'chus. B'roseinu shegam gedolim b'tovin lo nizharim b'zeh. U'chidei lo liskar ha'delech. Haderech of neyaladim umlalim. Shelo yehei lahem doresh u'mevakesh mibatim. Sheyichanchu osam. Abirchei ator v'amesorah. It's interesting, he phrases it from the perspective of the kids. So that there shouldn't be kids who are left out and are not able to be brought into Torah homes. So in order to enable adoption, usually we think of adoption from the perspective of the parents. Right? That the parents so desire to adopt children. Right? It's interesting that his phraseology is from the perspective of the kids.
That's the question I was going to ask about those languages. Where do they expect kids who need to be adopted to go? To Goyim? To perform? To what?
Most adoptees are non-Jewish kids.
Right, but most people who adopt children are non-Jewish today. That is true.
Yeah, that's only because they're having so many divorces.
Well, let's just take this adoption question one step further. Years ago, one of the big questions in adoption is, do you tell your kids that they're adopted? No? It was a question always, and many people tried not to tell their kids. It would seem, as a matter of halacha, and Rav Moshe Feinstein says this, and Moshe Sternbuch says this, that you really should tell the kids that they're adopted. Because especially if what you're trying to do is to keep the halachos of yichud in an adopted family situation, we're not going to tell you not to adopt. We're not going to go as far as the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Adopt. Be careful about yichud. It would be a little bit of a weird way to grow up. Oh, you know, the door is open, Dad. It's midnight. It's 2 degrees outside. There's a blizzard. Why is the door open, Dad? What's going on? Well, it's a little bit weird to grow up that way. Got it.
But it's your medical history. Huh? Isn't your medical history the same as your
But at the same... So it's probably a good idea to tell... That kid, I think today standard practice is that we tell kids that they're adopted. It's considered a better method that you tell. Also, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a different cheshbon. He's talking about adopting a Jewish child. He says that you should tell the kid that they're adopted, and you should tell them as much information as you know about who the biological parents are, because there's always a concern that the Gemara has a Shema Yisa Achir Vesachoso. That maybe, you know, you just meet on, like, J-Date or something, and oh my gosh, wasn't there a story like that, like, last year or 2 years ago? There's a story like that, that people met on some online dating site, and there was actually a brother and a sister. Pretty bad, yeah. The Tzitz Eliezer is... No, but, I mean, but Tzitz Eliezer, first of all, is in Israel. Not the Swedish, it's Tzitz Eliezer. Right. The Tzitz Eliezer is in Israel. He was the Rav in Shari Tzedek Hospital. He died around 8 years ago. But these are some of the issues that we wanted to mention in terms of adopting children. Yeah, Danny?
How about physical affection? Can you kiss one's adopted
daughter? Yeah, so it's a real problem. It's interesting. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the tshuva, in this same tshuva here, where is it? It's like 7-8 lines in. No, maybe more. 1, 2, 3. Moshe writes, "Hayichod hu yoser muksha mehachibuk v'hanishok, de'ein zeh derech taiva v'chibas bia, derech chibuk v'nishok l'banav v'bnosar shelo ne'asar." And Moshe Feinstein thinks that yichod is more of a prohibition with adoptive kids than hugging and kissing, because he says when you kiss a kid, yeah, that's not a sexual kiss at all. That's a kiss of affection, like a parent to a kid. So Moshe says he thinks that hugging and kissing the adopted kids is easier to permit than yichud with adopted kids. Very interesting. Very interesting. Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe also writes the line that, you know, if it's chibuk v'nishuk, that's not derech taiva, if you're kissing and it's not in a desirous and a sexual sort of way, he assumes that there's no prohibition whatsoever.
Because you don't want a child to grow up without affection.
What?
You don't want a child to grow up without affection.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that would be very... It's not fair to the kid. I mean, the kid would not grow up healthy. So what's interesting is that Rav Moshe is inclined to permit hugging and kissing, but not yichud. Right? Yichud he only permits based on his fancy workaround that the mother would know if the father's starting up with the kid. Right? That type of thing. I think it's interesting. Yeah, so that's something we're going to have to talk about in the professional situation here, right? Like cameras, does that, I'm sorry, we think of cameras, after this week's news, the word cameras are a very different meaning than it used to have, but cameras could be a big kula, right, in terms of solving problems of yichud. If you have some cameras or you give keys to other people, we'll have to talk about these things, absolutely, this might help, providing you hold that there's a concept of external I'm blanking on the word in English. Something that will prevent
constraint.
Me what? Deterrence. Right, Moshe Feinstein holds that we can make up our own deterrence in Halacha. We could say, oh, we know there won't be yichud, and we know that if the father would start up with the daughter, mom would find out, so that itself is a deterrent. Yes. Moshe is a big fan of these external deterrents. I would lose my license if I start up with my patient. Right? He says it. Right? No, so in certain areas of halacha, we do have deterrents. In other areas of halacha, question is in hilchos yichud. To rely on these deterrents, what we'll speak about in the professional shiurs, there seems to be a running machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Shlomo Zalman Auerbach about that point. Frida?
This might need more time than we have here, but the real issue is somebody's widow. They have several daughters. They get remarried. The daughters are three, it's one thing. The daughters are teenagers, it's another thing. How big is your apartment? What do you do? I mean, I'm thinking of somebody I know, actually. I mean, they had to figure out some workarounds.
So these are very difficult situations. Sometimes,
what do you do? Just tell her not to get married until the kids are out of the house?
No, you can't do that. But generally speaking, there are ways of solving the problems with creativity. Sometimes technology could help. There are ways. I mean, I know of one very big Talmud Chacham who has a blended family, and he has like a whole system to work out prohibitions of yichud. It is doable. If you're sensitive to the problem, we can work around it. It really is possible. It doesn't mean it's easy. It's just possible. Okay, so once again, I thank you for coming, and we'll continue studying Torah together next week, same time, same place.